So I want to talk about your smile, right? I want to because people associate, they say your smile is, I mean, you could take this shear in two directions, because some people associate your smile with, say, the modern day Yishmaelim. Whether that's biologically accurate or not is a question. But it's interesting in terms of sort of how you view the non-Jews around us. And to some extent, it could be a question of how you view certain of our biblical characters who were rejected, who are associated with these people. So what do you think? You think Yishmael is good or bad?
Bad.
Bad. Why do you say that?
He tried to kill Yitzchak.
He tried to kill Yitzchak. Okay. Where do you see he tried to kill Yitzchak?
I thought he tried with the arrows.
He tried the arrows, right. Because that's what they taught you in school. Right, so question.
That
no,
happen?
No. So it may have. So okay. So what I want to share with you is that there are different. The key to whether you think your smile was really bad or sort of bad or good, I think it hinges on probably a couple of phrases with about it. What stories do we know about Yishmael? What stories do we know about Yishmael? They're written in the Torah. Before we get into the arrow thing, is a midrash, an understanding of something. Okay, so we have. I have here in sort of the first page a bunch of passages dealing with Yishmael. So first, when Hagar runs away in Parshas Lech Lecha, so the angel says you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him Yishmael. Okay. First of all, it has God's name in it. That's not so bad, right? Ki Shema Hashem Kol Onyech. So it has God's name. Right? And then he says he's going to be a para Adam. What is para? So
wild ass or whatever.
Wild.
The adjective comes before the different, right?
What do you mean?
It's Adam para. It's para Adam. In Hebrew,
Adam. That's interesting.
You heard that?
So what does that mean? I heard that. Yeah. So
it was a big Rabbi Fran thing on 9/11 tape.
Oh yeah,
he was going wild.
Oh really? Because para Adam is other para.
Yeah.
He's defined as a para,
yeah, exactly.
As opposed to an Adam.
Yeah.
Like, are you a Jewish American or are you an American Jew? Right. Like, what's your? But that'd be the opposite. But that's I
had that tape in the trunk of my car for years.
No, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. So the question is right. So we have to uncover what this phrase is going to be a para Adam, which is interesting because then there's this general question of like, is. You know, how you relate Nevuah to free choice, right? And as God's already saying, he's going to be, if Parada means he's going to be a bad guy, so like, is this his fault or Hashem is just, it's almost as if, like the angel tells Hagar, go back, Hashem has listened to your voice, you're going to have a child, he's going to be the worst of the worst. You know what I'm saying? So like, I mean, what does Parada mean? We have to define what that means. You're frowning, or you're in thought.
I have no idea what the word is.
Okay, so we have to define what that means. I'm saying one of the issues in terms of whether Yishmael gets a bad rap. We're reading this in Chayisar because this is sort of the end. We do have him at the end of his life in this week's parsha.
So at the end, he's a tzaddik. I mean, the way they describe his death is that the same way they describe
our right. Right, he dies. Right, he dies. Shuba, yeah.
Whatever.
Right. Okay. Again, these things are not explicit, but yeah. So then we have this story with in Parsha in the end of Lech Lecha, we have that Avram says to God, when Hashem said to Avram, you're gonna have a child, he says, and he says Sarah's gonna have a child. So Avram says, in Perek Yizayin Pasuk Ches, V'omar Avram El Elokim, Lu Yishmael Yichrech Fanecha, Yishmael will live before you. I got Yishmael. God says, No. But sorry, Ishtecha, you'll let us be in Korosmo Yitzchak. No, Sarah's going to have a child. So there you have Yishmael's name comes up. You also have in Perachav Hey. Now we get to this week's parasha, where Avram dies. I'm sorry, I apologize. In Perach Yitzayin, Pasuk Chav, he says nice things about Yishmael. Yishmael shmaticha, he nebirachti yosov, he phrased yosov. He said, Avram's like, I got Yishmael, it's good. No, God said, no. Sarah's going to have a child, you're going to call him Yitzchak. But don't worry about Yishmael, I hear you. I'm going to bless him. Be phrased yosov, he's going to have a lot of children. Rebase yosov, mebom ba'od, right? A lot of good stuff. Shnei ma'asar nesim yolid. He's going to have 12 princes. Unesativ l'goy gadol, I'm going to make him a great nation. it seems like very good. Like God's going to do good by Yishmael, right? We have to deal with Per Adam, but like this seems to be nice about Yishmael. Okay, he's not going to be the chosen one, but he's not going to be too shabby either, right? And then in this week's parsha, then we have, and this is the life of Avram. He lived 175 years. He dies, and then who buries him? Per Chafei Pasuk Tes, Yitzchak and Yishmael by the Maaseh of Pelah. And then the Torah tells us, okay, God blessed Yitzchak and Pasuk Yud Aleph after he dies. And Ela told us, Yishmael ben Avram, this is the generation of Yishmael ben Avraham, and these are names of the children of Yishmael. It lists all 12 kids, right? Nevayot, Kedar, Baal, Mibsam, Yishmael, Duma, Masach, Hadad, Tema, Yatur, Nafish, Kema. Anyone learn this? Anyone learn this? Yeah? It's got the hard names here. Oh, I know why I know this, because it's Netanel's Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Right. Yeah, I remember. See, it's difficult to use all these names. Okay, so it says these are all the names. Okay, he lived 137 years. He said, right, it seems like he died nicely. Seems pretty nice. But then we have that other story, which Rafi, you say he's shooting arrows. I'm just pointing out, it all depends on one word. What's the word that it depends on? What's the word that what's the word where in this story? Mitzachek, yeah. So in last week's parsha, Per Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Ches, the Torah says that Avraham makes a big party for when he weans Yitzchak. When Yitzchak is weaned, no longer nursing from his mom, Vatera Saras Ben Hagar Hamitzris Shiyodo LaAvra Mitzachek. Oh, and Sarah that sees the son of, we don't even know his name, the son of Hagar the Mitzrit that gave birth to Av, that was born to Avram Mitzachek. And then Sarah's not happy, and she says, "Drive out this Amma, this maidservant. He's not going to inherit with my son, with Yitzchak." Avram's not happy about this. And God said, okay, just listen to Sarah. But don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to make your child into a great nation. So I think just in terms of how we view Yishmael is all about the translation of two psukim, I think. Number one is, V'huya pera adam yado bako v'yad kobo. This was said in the, and it was said in the context of a bracha, to say. It was clearly said, the context is a blessing, the bracha. So to say, oh, well, don't worry, it's going to be great. Bracha, I'm going to, Hashem has heard your voice, it's wonderful. But it's going to be awful. So that's a little difficult. And then the other phrase, which is, she sees a misachik, again, so now you have to, now the big question is, like, did Sarah overreact or not? To the extent that you feel that Sarah didn't overreact, it was a normal reaction for what happened, and that what he did was bad, but then it was bad in Avram's eyes. Well, was it bad in Avram's eyes, right? So, and then you have this whole host of questions, which is, Avram, how could Avram raise a son whose conduct was so awful that it constituted grounds for expulsion? How could that be, right? Then you could say, well, Yitzchak had Esau, but, okay. Avram was a good Kiruv guy. He was doing Makar, but like, you know, could Avram, you know, did you smell so bad living in the house of Avram? Maybe. Again, Yitzchak also appears, not really a topic, but he's a little reserved. He's not so, he seems to someone who's like a little distant. Avram is engaging with people. Can you smell me that bad? You know, it's very difficult that he did something so bad that he has to be expelled from the house. And on the other hand, is it possible that Sarah was so petty that she would banish a child who had done nothing wrong? It's clear that Sarah doesn't approve of Yishmael, but it's not so clear about the view of Hashem or the view of Avraham, right? So, and also, I also wonder, did Chazal's view of Arabs in the or maybe impact the understanding of Yishmael? You know, is that impact? Is that color their understanding? Okay. So, what I'd like to share with you are sort of three ways we can look at Yishmael, and depending on your view of the world, you can pick which one you like. But I just want to share you. Like, it's not, my goal is, you know, this shiurim is not to provide one direct derech, but to have a broad way of understanding things. So maybe the shooting the arrows at Yitzchak could be one approach, but it's not the only approach. It's an opinion. It's clearly not definitive.
There is a middle road that he's not inherently bad, but he's a bad influence.
Yeah. Okay.
From, you know, like an impulsive ADD type personality,
that you're going to kick out of the house.
That doesn't, before he does.
Right, he's like a teenager, so you can kick him out of the house.
Learns to mature on his own, yeah.
Okay, but
become less impulsive.
Or die.
Yeah, it's like you throw the kid in the water, he learns to swim, right?
Okay,
it's
okay. All right.
This is the one my in-laws sent my brother-in-law to Adelphia when he was 14.
Okay, so that's like, but he could come back, no? No, maybe? Not sure. Okay. All right. Okay. 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 So that's, I understand. So I just want to point out, like, what's the evidence? So again, Rashi, he views him as being, it's a very, he's an approach extremely negative.
It's like with Aesop too. Rashi is doesn't have the high opinion of
Rashi is, right, he follows those Midrashim.
Yeah.
Very like, it could be like, you know, either all good or all bad. Right. Like sometimes you want to have like a very stark picture. That's why like Rashi comes to the Midrashim. Like with Midrashim, people, it's not a fair statement. Because some Midrashim are more nuanced, more complex. Depends on the Midrashim. But yeah, Rashi does come out pretty harsh. He says, Para Adam, look at Rashi, Oe Midbaros, Latsud Chayos. He loves the desert. He likes to hunt wild animals. Okay, fine. He was a Rova Keshes. Yado Bakol, his hand is in everything. Now that can mean many, many different things. So first of all, Peradim, not so bad. He says he loves to hunt. Not so bad. I mean, but here, Yado Bakol, his hands in everything. So what does that mean, right? He's a thief. Yad Kolbo, Hakol Sorimo to Mikurbo, and everyone hates him. He hates people and everyone hates him. In other words, according to Rashi, the prophecy was that he would be a robber, he would be a thief. Now it's interesting. There's a debate in the Gemara, or the debate in the Medrash, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, next source, precious Rabbah. Rav Yochanan says, what does it mean, per Adam? Shako yu gedalim b'yishu v'hu yag gadel b'midbar. Means he's going to grow up in the wilderness. Rabbi, that's not his fault. Rabbi Shit Reish Lakish Amar, per Adam, v'adai, shako bozi mamon v'hu bozeis nefashos. This one's in per Adam. Everyone else is going to steal money, he's going to kill people. Bozei nefashos.
That's in the line of Rashi, because Rashi says, uses the term listen.
Yeah, so I think...
The term listen generally meant robbery.
Armed robbery. Right, but I would say it's even more extreme, because I think like an armed robbery, I think an armed robber is someone who's willing to kill in order to get what he wants. The language of Bozei's nefashos is almost like, you're almost like
didn't have a value.
Well, didn't have a value of people. Like I think Reish Lakish is even more extreme than Rashi, but it's the same concept, right? Yado bakol, right? So then he's kolbo is like a caliph, okay? And he says the caliph is ochel the velos, he eats the velos, okay? So that is right. So that is a very right. So it's very harsh. If you skip the, Avram, when he hears, I just had this pasuk here, Rashi says that Lu Yishmael Yichel Fanecha, when he tells him about that Sarah's got a child, so, oh, I wish Yishmael would Yichel B'Yerasecha, I wish that he would, you know, serve you, Yichel Fanecha, I wish he would be a good guy, you know, he's hoping for this. But unfortunately, he was Mitzachek. So this is Lashon Avodah Zarah. Some would say Lashon Gila Rayos, and some say Lashon Ritzicha. So Rashi has, and there are Midrashim about this, quoting Midrashim, that Mitzachek could mean the target practice that you're saying, Rafi. It could mean that he engaged in Gila Rayos, all the worst sins, the worst of the worst, all the worst of the worst. And then the question is, why, according to this approach then, why is Avram, if this guy's the worst of the worst, this kid's the worst of the worst, why does Avram not want to send him away? So it says, Vayera hadavar ma'od al odospido. So what does that mean? How would you read that? Vayera hadavar ma'od al odospido. So if you're taking this approach, very negative of Yishmael, what does that mean that it was bad in Avram's eye al odospido, on account of his son? What could it mean? Why would he be upset? Why would he be upset?
Bad influence on his other son.
No, he's upset that she asked him to leave.
Oh, that she asked.
So yeah. Why? I think they're like, think about this. Think about this. Yeah.
He's his son.
And therefore what?
For he loves him.
And therefore what? He's upset that what?
He's upset that he's been asked to ask his own son to leave.
Right. So one possibility. So let's say a child one of your children, I don't want to bring back any bad memories, never happened before, hopefully not. Well, let's say one of your children is expelled from school. Okay, hopefully not. That shouldn't happen. So when you're really upset about it, you could be upset that you don't want the school to ask him to leave. But what else could you be upset about?
And disappointed. Or that he did something that warrants.
Right, right. I'll odose Spino on account of his son. That
you're upset because it's warranted, or you're upset.
And now there's Shashama, like look at Rashi. Rashi actually has both explanations. The very last source on this page, Aldo Spino, Shashama Shiyatu Tabas Ra. And now it's bad. He didn't realize he didn't realize how far, you know, how low he went in terms of his spiritual depravity. That he really went off the derech. He was very upset about this.
So is this considered a failure on Avraham's part?
The Torah doesn't say that, so I don't know, because I'm not always going to attribute. We should never always attribute. I think parents have a major influence on their child's well-being, and that's totally 100%. I believe that we have a major influence on how our children turn out, but sometimes we do the best we can, and things happen. But I don't see the Torah. Like, I don't see evidence in the Torah. I'm not saying it exists. I don't see evidence in the Torah that the Torah is blaming Avraham for how Yishmael turns out. I don't see that discussed. I do see, I'm quoted here before, I do see evidence, at least according to some of Farshim, critical of Yitzchak in his treatment of Esav. I think I shared with this once before that in next week's Parsha, at the end of the Parsha, he says to Rivka, I don't want my son Yaakov, or Rivka says to Yaakov, Yitzchak, I don't want my son to marry the local daughters, local children. So Yitzchak said, okay, tells Yaakov, you should go to Padan Aram, go to my wife's family and marry from them. Don't marry someone from here. And Esav hears this, and he takes Yishmael's daughter, and the Sforta makes the comment, why does the Torah tell us that? Because obviously it tells us that Yitzchak could have said something to Esav and he would have listened. In other words, Yitzchak's parenting approach, this is the way the Sforta understands it, his parenting approach was just learn through osmosis. They learn how through I behave, but he never explicitly told them you're going off the derech. That's always a general question. How you parent, right? Do you tell him you're doing something wrong? Do you try to say, no, bring him in? Obviously it's a combination of both. But there's some evidence that there's critical. I don't know if the evidence in terms of the criticism when it comes to Avram's treatment of
Is Avram surprised at all? Is that
like Odas? So maybe, a little bit, but you know, is it surprise? Maybe he
was he not aware of the situation? Yeah,
of how surprised? I don't know, right? I mean, obviously it was bad. Like Alo Dos, like you said, I mean, right? Said Shishama Shiyata Tamis Ra. So it seems to be some, you know, surprise. Some, like, I can't believe we got that far. Something about that, yes, could be. Like he was hoping. So I wouldn't say it's bad parenting, but I agree with you. I think there is some of that.
Overly optimistic.
Yes. So that is so right. So according to this, and then if you're in this line of thinking, I have also here that why was Yishmael saved? Because why was he saved? So the Targum Yonason, I brought Targum Yonason in Aramaic, but there's a Hebrew translation of the Targum Yonason. Targum Yonason translates the Chumash into Aramaic, and now we translate it back. But obviously, a translation is sometimes an interpretation, right? Sometimes Targum Unkelos or Targum Yonason Ben Uziel are not only provide a simple like translation, but sometimes also some interpretation, some commentary. So it says, "Vayishma lifnei Hashem as kolos shel anar biglal zechushel shel Avraham." So why was Yishmael saved? Because of the merit of Avraham, and that's a very important point. And he says, and so that's why he was saved. And just again, Rashi in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Chaf, where Hashem blesses, seem to tell Avraham he's going to have 12 princes. It says, "Shneim asar nisiim." Now it's interesting, why aren't he called Shvatim, according to Sifsei Chachamim? So Rashi says Nisi'im, and Nisi'im also means Ananim, clouds. Kananim Lichlu. So he says, He's so into how bad Yishmael is, so can't be that he's going to be blessed. So when it says that God's going to have 12 Nisi'im, they're going to be short-lived. They're going to be like clouds. Again, that's a stretch a little bit, I think. The Sifrei Chachamim says, because if not, why don't you call them Shvatim? Like, children of Yaakov were called Shvatim. That's the language of Shevet, is like a staff of strength, or Sarim, Rashim. Why is it Nisi'im? And he said, that's something negative. Okay. And then I just want to point out to you, just add one final piece here. Rashi in Bereishis Chaf Aleph Yud Zayin, he says that he talks about this. It's like a famous story that when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish people, so then it says that they met these Aravim, and the Jewish people would say, please, can we have some bread and water? You feel the story? And they said, they brought them salty meat and fish. And the last two lines, v'nodos nefuchim, and empty flasks. So the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael thought there was full of milim, thought it was water. And when they ate the salty fish and meat, and they were really, really thirsty, and they were in the desert. So they gave them those food to make them really thirsty, and they opened the flask, and it was full of air. So poscha haruch nitzatz b'gufo meis, and it killed them. So they were associating Yishmael with the Arabs, who were very bad to the Jews when they left Egypt. Now this midrash is obviously before Islam, before the Muslims, because Rashi obviously lived after the Muslim conquest, but this is based on a midrash, which I believe it's an interesting study, by the way, to see, you know, how the midrashim viewed the Arabs before and after, but like they had different views on that. But in any case, there's this association with Yishmael, very negative, and these Aravim. Right, but this is dealing with Yishmael being very negative. I just want to point out, just very briefly, that there are, you know, the Ramban is mildly negative. He just says, he calls Pera Adam, Lamud Bamidbar, Yatze Bafalo, Mishachar LaTeref, Yitrof HaKol. Yeah, he lives in the desert. Pera Adam, he lives in the desert. He goes in the morning to get his food, Yitrof HaKol, he takes everything, rips everything, Vakol Yitrofu. Okay, and he says that, and what does this mean? It means that his children, they're going to have a lot of wars. They're going to fight against other nations. Okay? They're going to be a warring nation. Not the end of the world. It's mildly negative, right? He's going to be a militant person ready to pounce on and devour others. And he just says, the Ramban, when he says, the Ramban actually says, look in Ramban, Braises Chavav Tess, said, Ani omer chaz v'shom sheyev v'besov shel tzadikach. It can't be that Avram would raise Avram was a tzaddik, would raise a kid like this. Efshar misha kasuv bo ki yedativ lamana sheyitzave as barav as beso. Right? The Torah specifically said that Avram was someone who would command his children and his household v'shamru derech Hashem lasu tzedakah mishpat. So God testifies about Avram that he commands his household. He's very explicit about educating his family and his kids and his whole household that they should follow the way of God to do tzedakah mishpat. It can't be that he'd have a kid who's taking target practice on his other brother. So it can't be that he would engage in avodah zarah gilui raos shefichas damim. What's chok here? It says Yerusha. It says Mishal Shinol Yitzchak. You call Smechem. When Yitzchak was born, everyone was happy. And Yishmael said, "You guys are sheltered. You guys are fool. Ani bechor. I'm the bechor. I get double. Why are you so happy that Yitzchak was born? I'm the bechor." And based on that, right? So that's what that's one take. And then he goes on to say that that's why Sarah's not happy. Because he's asserting his right, or he's asserting what he thinks is right, is to be the firstborn, to get a portion. And she's like, no, that's not going to happen. And that's why she sent him out. I just want to finish. There are some Mefarshim who look at Yishmael very positively. The Ibn Ezra says, and I guess the Rabbi Fran did not quote the Ibn Ezra.
I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
Okay. So he says, Pera Adam, Chavshi Beit Adam, means he's free. Ketam Ishalach Pera Chavshi, it's free. What does it mean, Pera? Shalo Yimshol Bozar Mimishpachto. Simply means he's not submissive, he's going to be free from the yoke of others.
I think he might have said that in like the free of the yoke of human nature.
Ah, female nature. No, okay.
Like a female suicide bomber, I remember.
Right, okay. So he's saying Pera Adam means You want to say, right, he's free from humanity. He's acting, he right. acts like an animal, presumably.
Right.
That's one way of looking at it, right. So, you're right, here's the question. Right, he grows up in the desert, so he doesn't grow up in civilization.
Right.
So, right. So Ibn Ezra says that, no, it means that he's not going to be ruled by other people. V'adachob edashia bein ha'adam kipera she'enatzeh ha'kol be'kocho. He's going to defeat everyone. V'yad kobo. It means that he is going to be free from the yoke of others, and he'll be able to defeat others in battle. And Ibn Ezra says, this is the blessing. He's going to be very successful. And that's right. The Radak says something similar also. Adam Midbar Kipera. Someone lives in the desert like a para. Rubab Shokhti Bahali Bimaros. Most of them sit in tents in the desert. And the Aravim are the Ishmaelim. You're supposed to with the Arabs and with the Ishmaelim. Yadoba Kol was with his hands and everything. Because they have their hand in everything, but he's not going to be afraid. He's going to live. They're going to live together with other people. It's not something. It's not something negative. Both Ibn Ezra and Radak. And Ibn Ezra, what does it mean that he was mitzachek? You know, how old was Yishmael when Yitzchak was born? You know. Right, so remember, Hagar...
14?
So it's 14. It's 14, I think.
Because he had his birth at 13, which was...
Right, he had his birth at 13 the year before, right. Because Avram was, I think, 75. There was 85, right. Hagar had him when he was when he was 86, so right, it's 99. So I think it was like 14. Now, do 14-year-olds... And it's hard to know. What was a 14-year-old in biblical times, right? You always know. Different kind of age. But Ibn Ezra says, you know what he was doing? Kikain minha kol na'ar. He was acting like a teenager, like a kid. He was joking, he was mocking. And she was jealous of him. Ibn Ezra says that Sarah was jealous of him. And that was that. And in fact, the Bracious Rabbi, just one final point here, is that Bracious Rabbi says the following. V'yikra Malchal Kibel Hagar. So this is earlier on, Bishchus Shlavra, Bashar Husham. He says that Rav Simod says that the angels said, Ribono Shel Olam, a man who in the future is going to kill your children with thirst, like that story of the descendants of Ishmaelim. You're going to bring him. You're going to get him water so he can drink. You know, when she runs away, when she's forced to leave. So Hashem says to the angels, Arvelhem Achshav Mahu. What is he now? Tzadik or Rasha? Is he righteous or wicked? Arvelo Tzadik. He's a tzadik. Tzadik.
What's this? When is this current?
Bashar Hushav, the way he is right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So that assumed that he was a tzadik. So I'm not going to judge someone, Ella Bishaito, and therefore she sees the water. So that's the point. The point is, she opens her eyes and feels the thermos. So meaning, Yishmael now was a tzaddik. So I'm just pointing out to you, you know, if anyone tells you, I mean, you could, however you want, you can go with this shiur however you want to, but I'm just saying, I like to play devil's advocate. So if Yishmael, but I like to have content to back myself up. My point, the following is: if Yishmael is the precursor of Islam, or like the Arabs, or like Yishmael, you could read this individual as someone who is destructive and wants to destroy us, or you could read this individual who is someone who has a different mission than the Jewish nation, but an important mission nonetheless. I'm just saying there are mefarshim that go in different directions about what kind of person Yishmael was, and it really, again, it hinges on two different phrases: para adam, and it. It's okay, because sometimes you, like the Torah will tell you very little about a certain character, and you have to try to glean as much information. You know, we have a lot of stories about Avram, right? We have a lot of stories about Yaakov. You know. There's some characters we only have a couple of sentences. We have to understand what the sentence tells us about that. So the key really is that they said these two phrases about Yishmael, and it goes in the question of, could someone can grow up in Avram's house? Could Sarah want to throw someone out who's really not such a bad person? So some of these questions are really how we're supposed to deal with this. But I'm saying is that there's a way to look at Yishmael as a bad guy. And maybe at the end he did tshuva, maybe. But there's another way to look at it. That he was a teenager. He was laughing. And he was really blessed by God. And he wasn't such a bad person. And I think you can go, you know, this in either direction.